It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And they're off!
Well, the Senate is back in session on Monday. The House returns next week, though events are scheduled throughout the day this Thursday as the nation observes the one-year anniversary of the Capitol Hill insurrection. Members of the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack said Sunday that they had received testimony and documents providing an increasingly clear picture of what then-President Donald Trump said and did in the White House during the insurrection by a mob of his supporters. Representative Liz Cheney, the Republican vice chair of the panel, told ABC News,
"We know as he was sitting there in the dining room next to the Oval Office, members of his staff were pleading with him to go on television to tell people to stop. We know Leader McCarthy was pleading with him to do that. We know members of his family. We know his daughter. We have firsthand testimony that his daughter Ivanka went in at least twice to ask him to please stop this violence. Any man who would not do so, any man who would provoke a violent assault on the Capitol to stop the counting of electoral votes, any man who would watch television as police officers were being beaten, as his supporters were invading the Capitol of the United States, is clearly unfit for future office. Clearly can never be anywhere near the Oval Office ever again."
Committee Chair Benny Thompson told CNN that it's, quote, "highly unusual for anyone in charge of anything to watch what's going on and do nothing." Meanwhile, former New York City Police Commissioner and Trump ally Bernard Kerik reportedly gave up a trove of documents to investigators working with the committee. Politico reporting that Kerik's attorney gave up the documents containing several strategies that Trump and his minions considered using for the attempt to challenge the 2020 election. One lengthy set of documents turned over is called Strategic Communications Plan, Giuliani Presidential Legal Defense Team. Kerik is an ally of Giuliani's, and the documents reportedly outlined a proposal to lean on Republican lawmakers from six swing states and get them to vote against certifying Trump's loss. The report says, quote, "The document says its primary channels to disseminate messaging on these efforts included presidential tweets, as well as talk radio, conservative bloggers, social media influencers, Trump campaign volunteers, and other media allies." It also says that members of the House Freedom Caucus, many of whom backed Trump's attempts to overturn the election, were identified as, quote, key team members who would be involved in the strategy's execution. And it gets better. Kerik also reportedly provided documents outlining his email correspondence with associates about paying for rooms at the Willard Hotel. That's where Trump's allies set up their war room against the 2020 election, and those strategy sessions have been a major focus for investigators looking into what led to the events of January 6th. Kerik's lawyer also gave the committee a, quote, privilege log of documents that Kerik didn't turn over, one of them reportedly entitled Draft Letter from POTUS to Seize Evidence in the Interests of National Security for the 2020 Elections. The report says that Trump ultimately opted against that strategy, but his consideration of the option is one of the key questions the panel is probing as part of its broader investigation into attempts to overturn the election. Stay tuned. We should be hearing in the coming days about the scheduling of some public hearings to let us in on what they've learned so far. From the It's About Time files, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is reportedly going to put voting rights legislation on the floor for debate and votes, and will also bring up some version of the Build Back Better Act. Schumer and the Senate Democrats reportedly will use the one-year anniversary of the January 6th attacks as a reason for passing voting rights legislation, noting that the insurrection was spurred by the former guy's false claims about the elections. On Build Back Better, most of the action's taking place behind the scenes as the White House and Senate Democratic leadership tries to figure out how to win over Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to move on these priorities. But there are other issues coming to the front, like government funding, the current continuing resolution that keeps government agencies open and operating, runs out in 47 days, and there's been no progress on a funding package so far. And of course, the planet has now entered our third year of this pandemic. Omicron has rapidly become the dominant variant of the coronavirus. Schools are scrambling to figure out how to proceed as they get ready for students returning after the holiday break. Many school districts are trying to acquire enough tests so they'll be able to impose test-to-stay strategies that allow them to keep open rather than return to remote classes. Some school districts, including Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, are extending winter break by 2 days to allow time to test staff and students. Chicago is urging parents to give their children rapid tests before sending them back. And some universities are starting the year with remote classes. And this just in, breaking news Monday morning. The FDA has authorized Pfizer booster shots for people aged 12 to 15 years, another expansion in the population eligible for the third vaccination. The FDA said they'll also make boosters available for children ages 5 to 11 whose immune systems are compromised. Meanwhile, COVID-19 case numbers are exploding due to this contagious Omicron variant. In Florida, cases have risen 948% over the past 2 weeks. The U.S. is also facing a COVID-19 test shortage. Deja vu, anyone? The Biden administration promised to send out 500 million free tests to American households, but it is unclear when those tests could arrive. But they may arrive sooner than you do at home. Chances are, if you traveled over the holidays, you may not have made it home yet, and you are far from alone. Airlines canceled more than 2,100 flights into, out of, or within the United States on Sunday alone, bringing the total number of canceled flights since Christmas Eve to more than 15,000. USA Today reporting that staffing shortages have plagued airlines as Omicron has infected some employees and has left others afraid to go back to work. On New Year's Day alone, the Washington Post reports almost 4,400 flights were canceled worldwide. Twitter announced on Sunday that it had permanently suspended Marjorie Taylor Greene's personal Twitter account for violations of its policies against spreading misinformation about COVID-19. The ban came after Greene made one last false tweet about the pandemic on Saturday, saying there had been, quote, extremely high amounts of COVID vaccine deaths, huh? Twitter called it her fifth strike, meaning that under its rules, her account now cannot be restored. And finally, with the new year comes some new food labeling. You now may start seeing labels on genetically modified foods. The law went into effect Saturday, standardizing requirements across the U.S. The labels will say bioengineered. That means the plant or animal had a new gene inserted to make it more nutritional or resistant to pests or diseases. There are a few foods that will have this label, including some apples, corn, and salmon. As they say, the more you know. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is still fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.